Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Political manoeuvring in Westminster is moving at lightning speed. In the last few minutes, British cabinet ministers, including the new Chancellor Nadeem Zahawi, have headed to Number 10 to tell Boris Johnson to resign. It's us or you, it's apparently the message. The delegation of senior politicians, which also includes Transport Secretary Grant Shapps and Wealth Secretary Simon Hart, are joining Chief Whip Chris Heaton-Harris to tell the Prime Minister his position is simply untenable. Joey Jones is a former advisor and spokesperson for Theresa May, and he joins me now. Joey, you're very welcome to the programme.
Hello.
Despite all of the calls for him to resign, it seems Boris Johnson is playing for time here, as he did so often in the past. But do you think he's a dead man walking politically?
Everybody thinks that apart from Boris Johnson, it seems. And of course, you know, his stubbornness has served him adequately in the past. It's just that, you know, this is the people that have been closest to him, his cabinet colleagues, who are telling him to call it quits. It's suggested, as you say, that even some ministers, cabinet ministers, that he appointed last night after Rishi Sunak and Sajid Javid resigned might be among those who are now saying to him that the writing's on the wall. So, yeah, I'd love to be a fly on the wall in Downing Street at the moment. Some of his friends are there as well. So Nadine Dorries went in, who's a very close ally of the Prime Minister, and she's presumably going to have it out with the people calling, trying to persuade him to go.
Well, my God, I'd love to see that. I'd love to be a fly on the wall for that altercation. But you mentioned some of the ministers who were appointed last night are now part of this delegation to tell him to go. But it's even more crazy than that. I'd love to get your take on Nadeem Zahawi, because he was promoted last night and he manoeuvred himself into this position, it seems, to Chancellor of the Exchequer. That was yesterday evening. This morning, he was on the radio defending Boris Johnson. This afternoon, he's part of this delegation telling him to go.
Well, there are some reports saying that he might actually be on the other side. It's total confusion at the moment. He might be among those who are trying to persuade the rebels to stand down. But let's, for the sake of argument, assume that, yes, he is in there now saying to Boris Johnson that the game's up. It is really weird, and I guess ultimately, you know, it doesn't reflect brilliantly on his judgment, the fact that, as you say, this morning he was out there supporting him. Less than 24 hours ago, he was taking one of the most senior jobs in government from him, and now a sort of volte-face on that scale is pretty unprecedented. But it can only be because he would have been, I imagine he would have been, yes, he actually was, of course, on the front bench at lunchtime, listening to Sajid Javid making his personal statement, so this was a statement after having resigned from government. And he would have heard that a lot of that personal statement was bluntly a bit of a leadership pitch, which you might say is somewhat presumptuous, given that there's no leadership election ongoing and indeed no immediate vacancy. Mm-hmm. And he was talking with the incumbent actually on the front bench. But I reckon that Nadeem Zahawi might have concluded, blimey, I need to get ahead of this. The wheel has obviously turned here. There are going to be a bunch of candidates out there making their play.
But who comes out of this well?
Johnson's tent is not a great place to be.
I'm going to ask you who comes out of this well. But let me ask you first of all, put on your strategy and thinking cap when it comes to having your back against the wall like this. So if you were advising Boris Johnson this evening, what would you be telling him? And he's adamant to say.
I think the point is that one wouldn't have allowed it to come to this point. If I was advising Boris Johnson, I would have been telling him quite a long time ago to act very differently, to, you know, around Partygate. Not, I mean, it's
okay.
From a communication point.
So, Joey, you're a better advisor than the scenario I'm putting you in. I know that. But let me let me put you in this ridiculous position. Is there any way you can advise Boris Johnson to make things better over the next 24 hours or 48 hours?
I think the only way is to, if you like, appeal to personal Vanity might be a bit unfair, but it's this sort of legacy thing. You know, all prime ministers think about how are they going to be remembered, what's their place in history going to be. And Boris Johnson's written books about Churchill, as well, a book about Churchill, and he wants to have his place in the pantheon of great prime ministers. Well, that's not going to happen. But I think that being in a situation where he's right at the other extreme of that spectrum, where he's literally dragged kicking and screaming out of Downing Street in a situation of disgrace, humiliation, ignominy, whatever you want to call it, I think then one could say, as an advisor or as a friend to Boris Johnson, don't put yourself through this. It's
so
not going to be
advising him.
It's not going to be good.
You would be advising him to go. There is no way in the wide earthly world that he can remain or maneuver him into a position where even water flows under the bridge and people get distracted by something else. So in terms of the people who are left on the front bench or who would be contenders, who comes out of this sorry saga, Joey, in any favourable light at all?
No one really. I mean, there have been some, you know, people praising Rishi Sunak and Sajid Javid for, you know, their sort of principled stance of resignation, but they've on principle stayed through lots of other really ugly episodes in the past. So I don't think that really stacks up. People on the outside, you know, that's obviously the card that someone like Jeremy Hunt would play, might come out of it better. But then remember, lots of Conservative MPs have been back. The electorate, you know, in the first instance, you have to win with get Conservative MPs' supports, and they are all, you know, many of them are very compromised by what's happened over the past few months, and there will be a lot of rancor, a lot of bitterness, and people who act sort of high and mighty and self-righteous about the way in which they've been going about their business over the past few months won't necessarily go down well with the Tory MP selectorate. So ultimately, I guess if your question is who comes out net better off in terms of the potential to win the leadership election, it's probably someone like Ben Wallace, the Defence Secretary, who has been within the Cabinet, really good job over Afghanistan, very principled and very passionately fighting the corner of trying to do the right thing by the Afghan people and then Ukraine as well, but has retained a bit of a distance from Boris Johnson. That's probably about as good as anybody could hope for from this particular crop of cabinet ministers.
My next question to you, Joey, was about the 1922 committee. And it seems that there are going to be no rule changes that would allow another leadership challenge until the elections on Monday. And then they were going to look at rule changes. That is my understanding of it. You can put me right. But I'm just seeing some breaking news here from the BBC. It seems that Sir Graham Brady, according to their sources, chairman of the 1922 committee, is going to see Boris Johnson to, quote, offer wise counsel.
Yeah, so he's definitely in the building because there are photos of him heading over from Parliament. The thing about the rule changes, I think, is a bit. I mean, you're absolutely right. That is what they've decided, but it's a bit of a red herring because a week in the future is a mile away for Boris Johnson at the moment. He needs to consider getting through if he chooses to getting through tonight, tomorrow. You know, hour by hour, minute by minute. But I think that that Graham Brady is the archetypal, as it has historically been described in the Conservative Party, the men in grey suits is embodied by Graham Brady, and that's the phrase where the idea is that those grandees are able to say to a prime minister in office that your time is up.
So what do you, no point in asking what the wise counsel is, but what do you think the reaction to the wise counsel will be?
I think Boris Johnson hasn't computed, and perhaps is unable to compute the situation that is confronting him. He views himself as a winner. He views himself as an asset, somebody on, and somebody, you know, when you spin the coin, that life ends up sort of sunny side up for Boris Johnson. So the cataclysm that it feels like is about to befall him, I'm just not sure that he's equipped to deal with it, and that's why he's so. Yeah, I think many your listeners would would be entitled to say, why on earth does he want to put himself through this? This has been the most horrendous day that he's had, with injury and insult being heaped on him from all quarters. In the House of Commons, and even friends in the media, you know, right-wing newspapers turning against him. Why would you do it? And I think it's just because the reality of what's confronting him is so jarringly at odds with his own idea as to where he expected to end up. And he can't mentally bridge that gap at the moment.
Okay. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. Joey Jones, former advisor to Theresa May.